Welcome to the Wasatch Hills Church Podcast, a ministry of the Wasatch Hills Seventh-day Adventist Church with Pastor Bernie Anderson. Our prayer is that what you hear will inspire, equip, and perhaps introduce you to a new walk with Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Joycelyn and Eddie. We just finished 2 days of a conference.
Apenas terminamos 2 días de conferencias.
On leadership.
En liderazgo.
And I just want you to know that our church.
Yo solo quiero que sepan que nuestra iglesia.
Our church hosted this event, and it was really, really an excellent event.
Promovió este evento y fue un evento muy excepcional.
And I just want to say a huge thank you to all of our volunteers who gave up their time and energies over the last 2 days.
Y quiero agradecer a cada uno de nuestros voluntarios que dieron su tiempo para ayudarnos en estos días.
And they put in many, many hours and sacrificed a lot of time and energy. We thank them.
Y ellos pusieron mucha energía, horas en este trabajo.
And I just want to point out two specific volunteers, and I know I'll get in trouble because I'm not mentioning everybody.
But mencionar dos voluntarios de ellos, y yo sé que voy a.
But I'm going to mention them anyway,
so lo voy a mencionar de todos modos.
You can get mad at me. It's okay.
Se pueden enojar conmigo si quieren.
One of them is Ken Watson.
Uno de ellos es Ken Watson.
He is our technical director and put in a lot of hours.
Él es nuestro director técnico. Un aplauso para él.
It's the guys that work behind the scenes that you never see, but they're doing a lot. And Ken's one of those guys.
Son esas personas que están atrás de las escenas que casi nunca los ven.
And his entire team.
Y todo su grupo de él.
And we also want to just mention in a big way Sherry Hannon.
Y también quisiéramos agradecer a Sherry Hannon.
So if you would, I don't know if Sherry's here. Are you here, Sherry?
No sé si Sherry está aquí.
But she was our on-site event manager and in charge of the entire event on-site.
Ella fue básicamente la que se encargó de todo el programa, manejando todo el programa.
So many, many thanks to all of you who were part.
Muchas gracias a todos los que fueron parte de esto.
And we really, really thank you.
Y de verdad agradecemos. Thank you again.
Thank you again. At the end of time, there will be 3 groups that exist on the earth.
En los últimos tiempos, va a haber 3 grupos que existirán.
Those groups will be the hot, the cold, and the lukewarm.
Y esos grupos van a ser el caliente, el frío, y el tibio.
Now, I know some of you already think you're hot.
Y yo sé que tal vez algunos de ustedes piensen que son calientes.
That's not the hot I'm talking about.
Esa no es la palabra caliente. Que quiero que piensen.
We're talking about a spiritual fire that burns within you.
Quiero que piensen de ese fuego espiritual.
Then there's the cold.
Y después está el frío.
Those who are far from God and have no knowledge of the gospel.
Aquellos que están muy separados de Dios.
Then there is the lukewarm.
Y están también los tibios.
The lukewarm are cold on the inside.
Los tibios están fríos por dentro.
But they have the appearance of heat on the outside.
Pero aparecen tener ese fuego espiritual.
So they're lukewarm.
Se ven tibios.
So as we get closer to the end of time, something happens.
Mientras conforme vamos llegando al último de los tiempos, algo pasa.
It's what we call in the church the shaking time.
Es lo que llamamos en nuestra iglesia el tiempo de angustia.
So take your hands like this with me. Take your hands like this.
Pueden tomar sus manos así.
And say shaking time.
Tiempo de angustia.
Y'all do that real good. I like that. So it's called the shaking time.
Y es llamado el tiempo de angustia.
That's the time in which.
El zarandeo.
That's the time in which the 3 groups become 2 groups.
Es cuando los 3 grupos se vuelven en 2 grupos.
2 groups left will be the hot group and the cold group.
Los 2 últimos que quedarían serían el grupo ardiente y el grupo frío.
It'll be the group, the hot group will be the group that move move deeper into a relationship with Jesus Christ.
El grupo ardiente va a ser aquel que se mueva a acercarse más a Jesús.
The cold group will be the group that moved away from Jesus Christ.
En opuesto a esto, el grupo frío es el que se separa de los pasos de Dios.
And they become cold and hardened to the leading of the Holy Spirit.
Y ellos se vuelven duros en sentir el Espíritu de Dios.
So the Spirit of God is removed from them.
Entonces el Espíritu de Dios se remueve de ellos.
That's the experience of the shaking.
Y esa es la experiencia de el zarandeo.
Let me see it again.
déjame verlo otra vez.
Of the shaking.
El zarandeo.
Now, Seventh-day Adventists have always been real big on the shaking.
La iglesia adventista siempre ha sido muy fuerte en este tópico.
But what I want to suggest to you this morning,
pero lo que quiero sugerirte en esta mañana,
is that before there's a shaking,
que antes de este zarandeo,
there's a stirring.
Hay un meneo.
Is that right? Meneto?
Yeah.
All right. There's a meneto. All right, so there's a sorry.
It's all right.
So there's a stirring. So let me see your best stirring. There's a stirring.
Déjeme ver el mejor menú que puedan hacer.
And it's what I want to say is it's a stirring of the Holy Spirit.
Y este es el meneo del Espíritu Santo.
It's God's Spirit moving amongst His people.
Es el Espíritu Santo, el Espíritu de Dios moviéndose en medio de su gente.
There's a stirring that goes on.
Hay un movimiento que hay dentro de este pueblo.
So I'll give you an example. Yesterday when I was
un ejemplo.
Yesterday when I was leaving the church.
Cuando yo me iba de la iglesia.
I was deeply moved.
Estuve muy conmovido.
And it was at the end of our conference. We had 2 days of this leadership conference.
Y fue al final de nuestra conferencia. Tuvimos 2 días de conferencia.
Listening to some powerful speakers.
Y en estas conferencias había predicadores muy elocuentes.
And
poderosos.
And as I drove away, I found myself. Actually, I sat in my car for just a minute.
Y mientras yo me iba, me senté en el carro por un momento.
Excuse me for a minute. Sorry. So as I sat there in my car,
y mientras me senté en el carro,
I was there and I was kind of shaking.
Y estaba temblando.
And within me there was a stirring.
Say again.
Within me, there was a stirring.
Dentro de mí había un movimiento.
And it wasn't the Starbucks coffee.
Y no era el café de Starbucks.
Or the beans and brews that I had.
Y tampoco eran los frijoles de café.
Did you get it right?
Did I get it right?
Yeah.
Beans and brews.
But there was something very powerful about this shaking that was going
pero
on.
Pero había un algo muy poderoso dentro de este tembladero.
This stirring that I was experiencing.
Este movimiento que estaba sintiendo.
And in those few moments that I had sitting there in my car,
esos momentos que estaba yo sentado en mi carro,
the Lord sort of spoke to me and gave me what this stirring was all about.
El Señor me habló y me dio a entender lo que esto significaba.
And God said, think back over the last 10 months.
Y me dijo, piensa atrás 10 meses.
Think about what I've been doing among your people.
Y piensa lo que he estado haciendo dentro de tus congregación.
And he took me back to November of 2010.
Y me llevó a noviembre del 2010.
When we had All About Jesus seminar right here
cuando
in our church.
Tuvimos el seminario todo acerca de Jesús.
And people were stirred up because of those meetings.
Y la gente se conmovió a causa de estas juntas.
There's a spiritual stirring among Wasatch Hills people.
Hay un movimiento espiritual dentro de esta iglesia de Wasatch.
All right, can you say amen? And I went back to that time, and then God said, and let me give you another one. So I went back, and I thought about the next thing that God was telling me to think about. And that was our school. And the whole process of selling and moving out of the building and now finding a new building. And once again, there was a stirring. Let me see you stir. The Holy Spirit was active and moving. There were lots of conversations going on. There were lots of people talking, and the community came together to talk about the school. God said that was my stirring going on. And then we got to the summer and vacation Bible school. Now, I have to tell you, too, that Ezekiel got called upon at the last minute this morning. So he hasn't, yeah, I'm sorry, brother. You going to tell him? So God said, I was stirring at Vacation Bible School, too. We had the highest number of children and the highest number of volunteers ever. Can you say amen? And then just over the last 2 days, God said, I was stirring. Because we had people from outside of our church a part of this leadership summit. And many of them were visibly moved by the experience here in our church. I had a lady after the conference come up to me. And she wrapped her arms around me and gave me a big hug. She's a total stranger. I don't know her. But she was so thankful that we had hosted that conference. And I was so excited that we had almost as many volunteers as we had participants. We had an amazing group of local leaders that led out with the summit. And God was telling me that He was stirring. That there's a stirring that happens before the shaking. In other words, God's Spirit is moving upon the hearts and minds of His people. Because He does not want to see anyone lost. In fact, if you go to the book of Peter, it says, the Bible says that the Lord is not slack in keeping His promises. I'm going to summarize the text to save us a little bit here. He's not slack in keeping His promises. But He is long-suffering towards us. He is patient with us. Not wanting anyone to perish. but that all would come to repentance. So during this time of three groups, the hot, the cold, the lukewarm, God's Spirit is moving amongst His people. Because more than anything else, God wants to see you become hot and not cold. And so God sends His Holy Spirit to stir up believers. Before the shaking time. They're still doing it, the shaking time. So there's a great Old Testament story that I want you to take a look at me just very quickly. Now, you will find it in a book that you rarely look in, is my guess. It's the book of Haggai. Haggai is a minor prophet, Old Testament minor prophet. And he was called by God to deliver a message to God's people. God's people who had been in exile and in captivity for 69 years. And now they were returning to their land, to the land of Palestine. But their land and their cities were in ruins. And their temple was in ruins. So God told Haggai, go to my people and tell them to rebuild my temple so that I can be in the midst of them. And that was Haggai's message. That was he got three messages in the book of Haggai. That was his first message. As I was looking at Haggai, I noticed that Haggai only has two chapters. I think that's pretty amazing that you can write a two-chapter book in the Bible. And become a best-selling author. How many of you can write two chapters? Think you can pull that off? No pictures. You can't use pictures. So here's Haggai, and he has these messages from God for God's people about rebuilding the temple. And at first it seems that the people have received the message and are going to go forward with their mission. But as it turns out, they began to lose interest in rebuilding God's temple. And so God says, Haggai, go and reiterate to my people what I want them to do. Because my people are spending more time on their own houses than mine. And so Haggai goes back to the people and says, hey, rebuild the temple. As Haggai went back to the people, the message that he gave them from God was this: give careful thought to your ways. He said, give careful thought to your ways. What Haggai was telling the people is this. Think about where your relationship with me is going. Is your relationship all about you? Or is this relationship all about me? Haggai was telling him, hey, if it's all about me, then you need to rebuild God's temple. If it's all about God, then rebuild God's temple. But if it's all about you and you're going to spend your time rebuilding your own house, you are not going to receive the blessings of God. Now, what I like is, as you go over to Haggai, the latter part of chapter 1, I'm going to read verse 13 and verse 14. I want you to notice what it says. It says this, then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people. I am with you, declares the Lord. Now notice verse 14. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the... Go ahead. And the spirit of Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. Okay, so you see what happens. God stirs up. Let me see that stirring going on. God stirs up the spirit. He stirs up the spirit of Joshua. He stirs up the spirit of Zerubbabel. These men who are leaders over the people. But don't miss it, because it says that he stirred up the whole remnant of the people. Before there's a shaking, there's always a stirring. And the stirring is always about accomplishing God's mission in the world. It's about rebuilding God's house in the world. It's about rebuilding God's kingdom in the world. It's about God rebuilding the ruined lives of broken people. And he does that by way of his spirit stirring people up. He does it by stirring them up towards a relationship with the Almighty God. What I want you to notice, let me show you something right now. I want to show you something really important. When the Israelites came back from Babylonian captivity, after being slaves for 69 years, and God gives them this mission now, this building project to rebuild the temple, they probably were willing to do it out of obligation. But after a while, the burden of the obligation wore off.
Después,
They got bored. They got tired. They got sick of the foreman telling them that they need to be there on time. It's kind of like the pastor telling you, you need to come to church on time. And after a while, you just stop coming altogether. Obligation does not inspire people. Rules don't inspire people. So what God was challenging the people to do was this. To move from obligation to inspiration. To move from rules to relationship. To move from obligation to inspiration. Inspiration is when the Holy Spirit comes in and inspires you. You're not motivated by fear, but love. You're motivated by the mission to serve a God that you love, not a God that you fear. You're motivated because you love Jesus in a relationship with Him. Not because you're keeping meticulous track of the rules He set for you. And I want you to go back to now verse 13. Check out verse 13 one more time. This is how I know God wants us to go from obligation to inspiration. Verse 13. Because it says this, then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, to the people, sorry, the Lord's messenger gave this message to the Lord, to the people, gave this message of the Lord to the people, I am with you. I am with you. Now, does that do anything for you? To know that the God of the universe is with you. That sounds to me a whole lot like a relationship. Those of you who have a husband or a wife, and you walk into a restaurant, maybe you're on a date, and people see that you are together. Do they have to ask, are you with him or are you with her? No, it's pretty obvious that you are together. The closer we get to the end of time, the more obvious it becomes who is with God. The more obvious it becomes who the hot people are. What's also true is that it becomes more obvious who the cold people are. And let me tell you that the cold people aren't necessarily just the most evil people. It's not necessarily the murderers, the rapists, and the robbers. But it may very well be people who do not have a relationship with Jesus, but they're in the church. In other words, their whole spiritual life was more about rules than relationship. It was more about obligation than inspiration. It was more about what they had to do and not what God has already done for them.
Fue más acerca de qué es lo que tienen que hacer en vez de apreciar lo que Dios ha hecho.
In spite of the fact that the God of the universe has already said, I am with you. It's like going on a date with someone and ignoring them. I went to academy at Ozark Adventist Academy. Amen? Any Ozarkians out there? There's one. Ozark Adventist Academy. There's two. Oh, Carol went there too. That's right. And I remember in academy, your dates are to Vespers in church. It's all right. I have multiple translations. So you can't leave the campus. So if you tell a young lady or a young man, let's have a date, it's to church. It's to church. And the problem with that is when you get to church, they segregate you. So the girls go to one side of the church, and the guys go to the other side. But you're still on a date. As far as you're concerned, you're still together. But the reality is, you do not have a relationship. And the challenge for those of us living in the last days, is that we want to make sure. We want to make sure that we haven't segregated ourselves from the God of the universe. So wherever Jesus goes, I want to be with him. In other words, it's not so much that God's going to leave me, it's when I take a detour and go off on my own. The best way to make sure that we're following God,
La mejor manera de saber si es que estamos siguiendo a Jesús
is to make sure that we're doing his work in the world.
Es de asegurarnos que estamos haciendo su obra en el mundo.
That as the Spirit of God stirs our hearts,
y mientras el Espíritu de Dios conmueve nuestros corazones,
we commit ourselves to doing his projects in the world.
Nos dedicamos a hacer su proyecto en el mundo.
He's not going to ask us to rebuild the temple.
No nos va a preguntar que reconstruyamos el templo.
But he may ask us to be part of a ministry that rebuilds.
Pero puede preguntarnos que podamos ser parte del ministerio que reconstruye.
That rebuilds the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Que reconstruye el templo del Espíritu Santo.
Because there are broken and hurting people in the world.
Porque hay personas quebrantadas en el mundo.
And if they could get the stirring of the Holy Spirit within them,
y si es que ellos pueden ser conmovidos por medio del Espíritu Santo,
God can restore.
Dios los puede restaurar.
Amen.
Amen.
God can heal.
Dios puede sanar.
God can build them up.
Dios los puede reconstruir.
So if you want to stay close to Jesus and not segregate yourself from him,
si usted quiere estar cerca de Jesús y no separarse de él,
be about his work in the world.
Haz su labor en el mundo.
Join hand in hand with him.
Tómate de la mano de él.
When the Spirit stirs your heart, turn away.
Cuando el Espíritu te conmueva el corazón, no corras fuera de él.
Let me close with this.
Déjeme cerrar con esto.
How many of you watch TLC?
¿Cuántos miran TLC?
TLC? Okay, that's I don't, but TLC has all these shows about home improvement on them. It's a cable network on TV.
Es un programa acerca de cómo reconstruir tu casa en diferente manera.
And a few years ago, they had these shows that were real popular about flipping houses.
Y años atrás había tenían un programa de cómo cambiar casas.
And they would take a house that was old and dilapidated.
Y agarraban una casa que estaba echada a perder.
And they people would buy these homes that were old and broken down.
Y estas gentes compraban estas casas que estaban echadas casi a perder.
And they would invest some money as cheap as they could to rebuild that house into something beautiful and special.
Y ponían el dinero más mínimo que podían para hacerlas mirar una casa bonita.
Really, really popular shows on TLC.
Programas muy populares.
They would flip these houses, turn something that really looked awful into something that really looked good.
Cambiaban estas casas de ser unas casas echadas a perder a hacer unas casas que se veían muy bien.
At the cheapest price possible.
Al menor gasto posible.
Now here's the thing.
Ahora aquí está esto.
The last time I checked, God was in the house flipping business.
La última vez que Dios estuvo aquí estaba en el negocio de cambiar.
He has no temple to rebuild right now, but he wants to rebuild houses, the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Él quiere reconstruir la casa del Espíritu Santo.
He wants to rebuild people.
Él quiere reconstruir gente.
He wants his church to join him on that mission to rebuild people.
Él quiere que nosotros estemos con él para reconstruir las gentes.
To take them from a place of brokenness to a place of wholeness.
Tomándolos de un estado de donde estén quebrantados a un estado donde estén santificados.
And God does it for cheap.
Y Dios lo hace muy barato.
It doesn't cost us a thing.
No nos cuesta nada.
It costs him everything.
Le costó él todo.
But it doesn't cost us a thing.
Pero no nos cuesta a nosotros nada.
There's no mortgage involved.
No hay hipoteca envuelta.
There's no loan involved.
No hay préstamo envuelto.
You don't have to make payments.
No tienes que hacer pagos.
God just restores and he heals.
Dios solamente restaura y sana.
So God calls you to join him on that mission.
Y Dios te llama para que estés en esta misión.
God calls you to receive his grace that maybe he can transform your broken down house too.
Dios te llama a que recibas su gracia para que tal vez tú puedas reconstruir esos corazones.
How many of you are ready to get flipped?
¿Cuántos de ustedes quisieran hacer estos cambios?
Amen. How many of you are ready to get stirred up?
¿Cuántos quieren ser conmovidos?
Amen. How many of you are ready for the shaking?
¿Cuántos están listos para ese zarandeo?
Amen. God is going to restore. He continues that work of restoring people.
Dios va a reconstruir y continúa reconstruyendo.
Changing lives.
Cambiando vidas.
And it begins with the stirring.
Y empieza con el zarandeo.
Before the shaking.
Empieza con el movimiento antes del zarandeo.
Would you pray with me? Father God.
Vamos a orar. Dios Padre.
Thank you for the gospel.
Gracias por el mensaje.
Thank you, God, that it is a message about you.
Gracias por ser un mensaje acerca de ti.
Thank you that it is a message about a relationship with you.
Gracias por hacer este mensaje en relación contigo.
Father, we long for a transformed life.
Padre, nosotros queremos esa transformación.
We desire you, God, to flip our house.
Deseamos que cambies nuestras casas.
To stir us up on the inside.
Que nos conmuevas dentro de nosotros.
For a relationship with you.
Para una relación contigo.
Thank you, Jesus, for how you're going to do that.
Gracias, Jesús, por hacer esto.
Thank you for allowing us to join you on your mission to help others learn about you.
Gracias por hacernos parte de esa misión.
In your precious and holy name.
En su precioso nombre y santo nombre.
Amen.
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 Thank you for listening to this edition of the Wasatch Hills Church Podcast. For information about the Wasatch Hills Church, please visit us on the internet at www.wasatchhills.org. Or you may email Pastor Bernie Anderson at pastor@wasatchhills.org.